Just about everywhere you go in the Puget Sound region, you can find them. Blackberries. The most prevalent variety is the Himalayan blackberry. Love them or hate them, they are everywhere. This prompted a question for KUOW's Local Wonder.
This is Eric Soche from Snohomish. While traveling in the Himalaya, I never saw any blackberry bushes. Where did our invasive variety originate? When and how did they get here?
To answer Eric's question, we sent out KUOW reporter Ann Dornfeld.
Growing up in Seattle, I spent summer evenings like this one picking blackberries. These days, I spend more time trying to fend off blackberry vines in my garden. If you've ever tried to do that, you've probably found that trying to follow one long blackberry vine to its source leads to another one heading a different direction. Kind of like the story I'm about to tell you.
It was the end of the 19th century, and American life was changing dramatically. People were moving from rural areas to towns and cities, including Seattle. Industrialization was creating a new middle class. Meanwhile, way down the coast in Santa Rosa, California, an eccentric guy named Luther Burbank was hard at work on his experimental farm. At the turn of the century, scientists were just beginning to understand how heredity worked. Burbank didn't have any formal training, but he was working feverishly to breed strange and wonderful new kinds of plants.
He realizes the growing middle class is going to want to have fresh fruits and vegetables. They're not going to want to eat canned beans. They're going to want to be able to eat fresh beans all the time. But in order to do that, they're going to have to be able to be shipped.
Philip Thurtle teaches the comparative history of ideas at the University of Washington. He says Burbank set out to create new varieties of fruits and vegetables that would be delicious and prolific, and that could withstand the voyage on the nation's new transcontinental railroad. Burbank sold his hundreds of plant creations through catalogs with pictures of shiny fruit and shinier superlatives.
A new cherry, the Burbank. The earliest of all large cherries, the largest of all early cherries, and not only the best of all early cherries, but unsurpassed by any cherry of any season.
Burbank's inventions could be weird, like a spineless cactus, or his potato-tomato hybrid, which somehow never took off. But others were smash hits. He created the Freestone peach, an elephant garlic.
My favorite the example is the Shasta daisy, because this is something that most of us have in our gardens.
Chances are you've eaten one of Burbank's creations if you've ever had fries at McDonald's. He made his money on a potato he invented in the 1880s he called the Russet Burbank that's the most widely grown potato in America today. Thurtle says around the same time, Burbank was working on a new large-scale project.
And that was to create a thornless blackberry, you know, kind of the parallel to his spineless cactus or his stoneless plum. He kind of wanted to take all the rough spots out of nature, to domesticate it for middle-class lives.
Burbank traded seeds with fellow collectors all around the world. In a package from India, he found seeds for a huge blackberry with an even bigger flavor. Burbank named it
the Himalaya Giant.
Even though it's actually thought to be from Armenia. Burbank found that the Himalaya Giant grew like nobody's business, but only in temperate areas like the Pacific coast. In 1894, he offered the berry in a special catalog he sent buyers in mild climates. It was popular. By the early 1900s, the Himalaya Giant, which we now call the Himalayan blackberry, was especially thriving in Puget Sound. Thurtle says Burbank's business was thriving too. Everyone wanted to see his famous plant laboratory. He was hanging out with Thomas Edison and Henry Ford.
So he's an international celebrity.
Burbank was so successful at breeding plants that he became interested in applying the same principles to people. He started selling a new book he'd written in his catalogs called The Training of the Human Plant.
When all the necessary crossing has been done, then comes the work of elimination, the work of refining. Until we shall get an ultimate product that should be the finest race ever known.
Burbank considered the U.S. the perfect eugenics opportunity because at the turn of the century, there were immigrants coming from every part of the world.
Look at the material on which to draw. Here is the North, powerful, virile, aggressive, blended with the luxurious, easy-loving, more impetuous South. The union of great native mental strength, developed or undeveloped, with bodily vigor, but with inferior mind.
Burbank had a theory that an organism's surroundings left an imprint that was passed on to future generations. So he wrote that children should spend most of their time outdoors, communing with nature. Perhaps that's why a Mercer Island boarding school for troubled boys was named after him in 1931. Seattle boys running amok were sent to the Luther Burbank School on the shores of Lake Washington, where they learned to farm. Today, only the dormitory remains in what is now Luther Burbank Park. And the only thing running amok at this park are the Himalayan blackberries that escaped those turn-of-the-century berry farms and gardens.
I mean, there is not a part of Western Washington that is not touched by this plant.
Sasha Shaw is a noxious weed expert with King County. She says the blackberries crowd out native species of plants and animals.
It is successful in our entire region. It can grow in dry soils, wet soils. It grows into the forest. It grows in full sun. There's really not a place it can't succeed.
Birds and other animals spread the seeds far and wide. And once the plant is growing, when the tip of a vine touches the ground, it can create a new plant.
Very aggressive. People try to kill it. It just keeps coming back. I mean, it has really everything going for it in terms of an invasive plant.
Luther Burbank never got around to breeding humans, but it seems as though he may have introduced a master race of berries. In Mercer Island, I'm Ann Dornfeld for KUOW's Local Wonder.
This story was inspired by a question from listener Eric Soche. So, what do you do if you have a yard full of blackberries? Make a pie, of course. We have a recipe at our website at kuow.org. And while you're there, leave us your local wonder about the Puget Sound region. If your question is selected, a KUOW reporter will investigate it. And a big thank you to Kurt Beattie, who played the role of Luther Burbank in our story.